Let's read together Acts chapter 20. In this chapter, we have the last major stages of Paul's third missionary journey. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 12. Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. After the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Also Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. These men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together, and in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. Let's begin our study of Acts chapter 20 with some background notes. In Acts chapter 19, we have the account of Paul's ministry at Ephesus on his third missionary journey. For more than 2 years, Paul lectured and had discussions daily in the school of Tyrannus. As a result, many interested people, both Jews and Greeks, or Jews and Gentiles, residing in or passing through Ephesus, heard the word of the Lord. We read in Acts chapter 19, verse 10, that during this time, all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Asia, that would be the Roman province of Asia, where Turkey is today. God was doing some extraordinary miracles through the Apostle Paul at Ephesus. And a great revival took place with the new believers burning all of their old occult materials. The gospel was making such inroads at Ephesus that certain businesses associated with the great temple of the pagan goddess Artemis were losing money. As a result, there was a great uproar at Ephesus, which was finally quelled by the city clerk of Ephesus. Now, after the uproar had ceased, we read in verse 1 of chapter 20 that Paul decided to move on from Ephesus to Macedonia. His purpose was to both preach and teach the word, as well as to take up a collection to bring back to the Jerusalem church and the needy saints there. We know from 2 Corinthians that Paul stopped at Troas before he got to Macedonia, and we see in verse 2 here that after visiting the Macedonian churches, which would have included Philippi, Thessalonica, and Berea, Paul then moved on to Greece, which would have included Corinth. Now, certainly more we could give for background, but let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points. We have 4 doctrinal points, and all of them have to do with what we see from this chapter as important points to keep in mind when involved in the work of the Lord. Doctrinal or teaching point number 1. Staying flexible is important in the work of the Lord. Staying flexible is important in the work of the Lord. Throughout Paul's ministry, we see that he could flex if conditions changed. He could roll with the punches. He could change his itinerary. He could adapt and adjust to new and different situations. We certainly see that illustrated in the first section of this chapter, don't we? When Paul planned to return home to Antioch of Syria by boat, he learned about a plot against him, probably a plan to kill him at sea and dump his body overboard. So what did he do? He changed plans and went by land back through Macedonia instead. He flexed. He sent the rest of the team on ahead to wait for him at Troas. Meanwhile, he picked up Luke at Philippi because the us and we pronouns begin again in Acts here in verses 5 and 6. Luke had spent the last 6 to 7 years at Philippi. See Acts chapter 16 in this connection. We see another situation where Paul stayed flexible in verses 6 through 12. At Troas, on the first day of the week, he met with the believers to remember the Lord. As Paul was teaching them in an upper room, a young man named Eutychus was sitting in an open window and dozed off and fell out of the window and was killed. You know, this passage of Scripture has always been encouraging to me, not only because Eutychus was raised back to life, but because even the preaching of the Apostle Paul couldn't keep everyone awake. Notice how Paul stays flexible after this remarkable event. He breaks bread with the believers and continues to share the word with them until the next day. Just another day at the office for the Apostle Paul. Staying flexible is important in the work of the Lord. Doctrinal point number two, being efficient is important in the work of the Lord. Being efficient is important in the work of the Lord. Verses 13 through 17. Then we went ahead to the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take Paul on board, for so he had given orders, intending himself to go on foot. And when he met us at Assos, we took him on board and came to Mytilene. We sailed from there, and the next day came opposite Chios. The following day we arrived at Samos and stayed at Trogyllium. The next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus, so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Rather than sail from Troas to Assos, Paul sent the team ahead by boat, but decided that he himself would hike the 20 miles over land so that he could stay on a little longer ministering the word at Troas. This was efficiency in the ministry. And then instead of stopping at Ephesus, where he would surely be delayed from getting to Jerusalem by Pentecost, Paul efficiently stopped at Miletus, about 30 miles south of Ephesus, and sent word to the Ephesian elders to join him there for a conference, which they did. Again, efficiency in the ministry. You know, it's amazing how much more work for the Lord can be accomplished when you try to be efficient with your scheduling and itinerary and budgeting of time and money. Being efficient is important in the work of the Lord. Doctrine point number three, encouraging elders is important in the work of the Lord. Encouraging elders is important in the work of the Lord. Verses 17 through 32. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. In these verses, there's some important doctrine concerning elders. First of all, we see that there was more than one elder at the church at Ephesus. There was not just one elder or minister or pastor. The Bible teaches the plurality of elders. Secondly, verse 28 makes it clear that there is no difference between the office of elder and the office of bishop or overseer and the position of pastor in a church. All three terms are used interchangeably to designate the same individuals in verse 28. Paul is addressing the elders of the church at Ephesus, and he refers to them as bishops or overseers and pastors. Another point of doctrine here about elders is that the Holy Spirit makes a man an elder, not the church by popular vote. It is the church's responsibility to recognize the elders that the Holy Spirit is calling to this great work. Paul encouraged the elders at Ephesus by reminding them that even though false teachers would arise, the church of God would go on, and they would be strengthened and built up for the job by the Lord and His word. Verse 32. We too should encourage elders in the church who have this great responsibility. Encouraging elders is important in the work of the Lord. Doctrinal point number 4. Setting the example is important in the work of the Lord. Setting the example is important in the work of the Lord. Verses 33 through 35. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, Paul is not tooting his own horn here. He is exhorting the Ephesian elders to follow his example and be models themselves. How important these exhortations are for today. Don't be in the ministry for the money. Be willing to make tents to meet your needs and the needs of others. Help the weak physically and the weak spiritually. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, the bottom line in serving the Lord is not what you get out of church or get out of your fellowship, or even get out of your Christian life, but what you give. Setting the example is important in the work of the Lord. What about practical application? Pray a parting prayer. Pray a parting prayer. Verses 36 through 38. And when Paul had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. We see that it was a very emotional scene when Paul was about to depart. Being emotional and showing your emotions is not wrong at times like this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4 says that there is a time to cry. Before Paul parted, he knelt down and prayed with these men. Parting prayer is always proper, whether it be before a long journey or before some separation from friends or before going on a missions trip or any other parting. To say, let's have a word of prayer, or brother, would you commend us to the Lord as we part, is certainly following a biblical pattern. So pray a parting prayer.